for Pastor Appreciation. I gave myself the gift of Jason Bentley this weekend. Amen. He is a fantastic, fantastic preacher and pastor. I'm honored for you to hear him today. He's a church planter. He's planted churches in the state of Washington, the greater Seattle area, successful and thriving churches. He's pastored and getting ready to plant another church, and we're going to be a part of that and help them every way that we can. But today, his assignment is to preach and to bless us, and I'm excited. Would you welcome him one more time? Come on, Jason, preach the word, man.
Can you believe that we get to do this? Come on, this is not just another Sunday. This is not our opportunity to just go through some kind of religious motion or to engage in some kind of spiritual calisthenic. We are here in the life-changing presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And we are here together. And when you put the people of God and the Holy Spirit together, anything can happen. Is there anyone excited about being in church today? Whether you're in the building, joining us online, come on, how many are excited to feel the presence of God? I love what the psalmist wrote in Psalms chapter number 16. He says this, because you are close to me and always available, my confidence will never be shaken. And that's what we need in our life in this season right now. Because he is close to me and always available, my confidence will never be shaken. For I, and this is my favorite part, for I experience your wraparound presence every moment. My heart and soul explodes with joy, and I will rest confident and secure, for you will not abandon me. There is nothing like church. In fact, church is where God's presence is felt. Church is where God's pardon is offered. Church is where God's purposes are revealed. And it is at church where God's power is displayed, and there is nothing like church. And if you're going to be a part of a church, it might as well be the church, Covington. Come on, is there anyone thankful to be a part of this house? If you're new here today, you're new joining us online, I just want to say welcome home. Your search for the greatest church in all of Covington is over. You are here, and I just want to welcome you. Welcome to the family. Welcome home. And to those of you who call the church Covington home, I want to remind you today, I know you don't really need to be reminded, but the grass is not greener anywhere else. Come on, you've got the greatest team, you've got the greatest church, and the future is bright. The future is so bright. And I just want to honor today my friends, Pastor Daryl and Kristen, for the incredible job that they're doing here at the church and the team that they're putting together and the momentum that is happening, even in a pandemic. Come on, somebody. The church is moving forward. It's exciting. It's exciting for me to be here today. I'm traveling all over the country, and I'll just tell you, not everywhere is experiencing this kind of momentum. And so to be a part of this is such a blessing, and it is such a privilege for my wife Alejandra and I to be here with you today. And I want to share a word with you. I just want to thank you again for your heart to touch not just this area, but to touch the nations. And thank you to those of you that raised a hand and said that you would sponsor a child or sponsor a couple of children. My family and I, we sponsor that beautiful little girl you saw in Honduras. We also sponsor a little boy in Ethiopia. And it's our joy to be able to write back and forth with them. And I had the privilege of meeting Claimy, that's the little girl's name in Honduras, and no doubt we'll be going again to see her. And I just want to thank you for that. And for those of you that took a profile with you, I want to encourage you to be sure to, on the inside of that, fill out the information. My wife and I will be out at the display in the lobby after church to answer questions, to thank you for your heart. And for those of you that may be still considering it, we'll be there to help you any way that we can. But we're going to go today to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter number 9, and we're going to look at verse number 62, Luke 9, verse number 62, in the Message translation. And I love how it just gets right to the point, right to the heart of the matter. Jesus is speaking here. These words are in red. Jesus says, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day. It's really that simple. No procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day. No doubt many of you have grown up in or around church. Even if you're new to church, I'm sure you can remember maybe how it was when you attended with a grandma or an aunt or a friend. It's usually at this juncture in the service that the pastor will read the text and will share with you the title of the message. And I know that you didn't realize this when you came or when you joined us online, but this is a historical Sunday. Today we're going to do something that is absolutely unheard of in church. In fact, you today came in wielding more power than what you can even wrap your brains around, all right? And the reason for this is because we've learned by studying social media that Americans, the American public, love to share their opinion. Has anyone noticed that over the last couple of months? Americans love to share their opinion. They don't want to be spectators. They want to be participants. And that's why television shows like American Idol or The Voice, or even kind of way back in the day, Survivor, that's why they were so popular, because we weren't in a passive, observational kind of posture. We could actually ring in and cast our vote. Today, my friends, you're going to have that power right here at the Church Covington, because I'm going to put it into your hands as to what we're going to preach about here today, all right? So we've got a couple of options for you. The first is, after reading the words of Jesus, no procrastination, no backward looks, you can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow, seize the day. How many of you want to entitle this message, "It's Time to Move"? Go ahead and raise your hand for "It's Time to Move". All right, we've got a couple of hands, Very good, very good. Thank you. And now we're going to give you the other option. You have a choice between "It's a time to move" or, are you ready for it? "I like to move it, move it." By a show of hands, "I like to move it, move it." And after tallying up all of the figures and receiving all of the texts and phone calls, it is clear that the American public, the Church Covington, has gone with "I like to move it, move it". So today, my friends, we're going to talk for just a few moments on the subject, "I like to move it, move it". Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak to us in this time together. I pray that you would lead us and guide us, continue to shape us and transform us. You're on the move. You're doing something fantastic, and we want to be a part of it. We understand that we cannot put off what you are having us to do till tomorrow. We want to seize the day. Help us in this. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You know, the last couple of years, my family and I, we've been walking out in an extremely difficult season in our life. And during this time, I have learned, and I'm learning a lot about myself. And of course, I've learned and I'm learning a lot about God in the whole process. For example, one of the things that I have learned about myself is that I generally have two problems with the will of God. The first is I don't ever seem to know what it is. And the second is when I know what it is, I never want to do it. I've also learned something else, and it's actually the reason that I'm so delighted and I'm so honored to be here with all of you and that I have the chance to share with you. I have learned, are you ready for this? I have learned that God does not change. Now, from your overwhelming response, I can tell that this is probably something that you know already. We all know this. The Word tells us as much. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have learned, or we are learning, that Jesus is trustworthy and He is dependable and He is consistent. He is unrelenting. He is a firm foundation. He is a solid rock. He is the ultimate stability. And can we just clap our hands and thank Him for that? He does not change. However, although He does not change, He does move. And hear me today, my friends. If we fail to move with Him for whatever reason, which results in our inaction, we will end up in a situation where we will find that He will be there and we will still be here. And if we're not careful, we will confuse momentum and movement as a deficiency in His character. We will start to interpret forward progress as divine unreliability, that He is doing what He said He would not do, which is change. But the reality of the matter is He's not changing, He's moving. And we have to move with Him. We are to discern where and how He's moving and continue with Him. I've also learned that we have some strange ideas concerning what a move of God is and what it looks like. For some of us, a move of God looks like a ton of miracles beginning to happen on our jobs or in our homes or when we gather together on the weekends. For others of us, and this would be probably my experience growing up in a very kind of charismatic background, a move of God for me was when I would come into a service and where I would feel electrified goosebumps. Goosebumps on goosebumps, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. In fact, there would be times that I would feel like I had not been to church if I hadn't felt a bunch of goosebumps and if I wasn't walking out of the building worked up into a sweaty lather. For others of us, a move of God looks like hundreds of people starting to show up to church who have never been invited. And as the house is filling up and as people are joining in with our community, we're wondering, how in the world did they get here? How did they find out about us? It's just a move of God. For others of us that might be coming from a more traditional or reserved church background, a move of God is simply when two or three people actually say amen while the preacher is preaching. But whatever the case may be, God is moving. And no doubt a move of God may at times have all or some of these elements, but if you are waiting for all of that or for some of that to realize that God is moving, that God is on the move, then you are going to be left behind because God is moving right now. God is moving right now. And it does not matter that we are in a pandemic, and it does not matter the unrest and the tension that is playing out in our communities and around this nation. Hear me today. God is moving. God has not been blindsided by these events, nor has he been hindered in all of it. God is on the move. He's moving in your home. He is moving in this church. He is moving in your business. He is moving in your family. And can we clap our hands and thank him for that hope and for that confidence? He's moving. God is always moving. And hear me today, it appears simply as opportunity. Throughout the New Testament, opportunities are referred to as open doors. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, verse number 5, he says, "For the present, I'm staying right here in Ephesus." Why? Well, God's on the move. A huge door of opportunity for good work has opened up here, and there are many adversaries. Paul says, "I can't go anywhere right now. I'm not changing my location. God is moving because there are some great doors of opportunity that have opened to me." And as we begin to reorient our thinking, and as we begin to view God moving in this manner, whether they be large or small, opportunities are the doorway to God working in us, through us, and among us. I want you to just right now think about opportunities that presented themselves to you over the last just 7 days. Think about the opportunities that you personally encountered this past week. Opportunities to serve, opportunities to encourage, opportunities to show compassion, opportunities to invite someone to church, opportunities to be generous, opportunities to pray with someone, to prepare for your next season, the opportunity to change. In fact, that's why I love what Pastor Andy Stanley said. He said, "We do not need to pray for miracles. We just need to be more sensitive to the opportunities that God brings our way." And it is this reality that Jesus speaks into in Luke chapter number 9. The doorway of opportunity to usher in, to expand, to participate in the kingdom of God perpetually stands open. And that's why Jesus said, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put off God's kingdom until tomorrow. Seize the day. Jesus is challenging us with the verb seize. Seize the day. And that word seize means to grab, to take advantage of, to lay hold of quickly. So Jesus is provoking us to grab, to take advantage of, to lay hold on quickly of every opportunity that we encounter. In essence, what he is saying is, I want you, those who identify with me, who have put your trust in me, who have surrendered to me, I want you to move with God as He is moving and step through every single door of opportunity. And as we're thinking about how we like to move it, I want you to think about a song, your favorite worship song right now that whenever you play it, seems to just usher in the presence of God into your life. Do you know what I'm talking about? There are certain songs. And in fact, one of my new favorites was sang here this morning as we sang about the presence of God and it flooded this place. I'm going to be sure to go and find that song and add it to my Spotify playlist. But I know that if you're anything like me at all, that you probably have a song or two that kind of works as a trigger, but a trigger in the good way. It's the kind of song that when you get stressed out at work or tensions have heated up in your marriage or in your home, that you pull away, maybe you drive off into a dark cul-de-sac somewhere. You go, if you're a parent of two small children like my wife and I, it's a dark closet that you'll hide in somewhere in the house. And you'll put on a song, and as you're listening to it, you feel God's presence, you cry, and you engage Him, and when you come out, you just feel so much better. It's like sunshine on a cloudy day. Well, for me, and for the last few months, that song for me has been a song by Brandon Lake and Tasha Cobb called "This Is a Move." This is a move. In fact, Pastor Daryl and I, we were listening to it this morning, and he was sharing with me how you as a church, you are singing, "This is a move." And I love it because that song is so powerful. I mean, whenever I hear that song, instantly, I'm tears. And I don't mean like watery eyes. I mean like ugly cry. Like, oh, God, yes. That's how I respond to that in this season. This is a move. I feel God. And one of the parts of the song, as much as I love it and as much as I want to listen to it and engage with God as the result of it, there's one part of the song that in light of what we're talking about today actually kind of rubs me the wrong way. And there's a part in the song where we start singing, we're encouraged to sing, "We need a move. We need a move." And although I get what is being conveyed here, I believe that what we really need to be saying is, we need to move. We need to move. Because God is moving and opportunities surround us, so we need to move. Orison Martin, he made this statement. He said, "Don't wait for extraordinary opportunities. Seize common occasions and make them great. Weak men wait for opportunities, but strong men make them." So there's all of these opportunities. God is moving. Jesus challenges us to seize the day, to seize those moments. But what happens far too often in my life, and can I be just real and transparent with you for a moment? What happens far too often in my life, and maybe it's true of yours, when we stand in front of these open doors, like the Apostle Paul talked about, when we stand in front of these opportunities, and this is what today is really all about. If you don't remember anything at all, I want you to remember this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Instead of seizing the moment, we seize in the moment. Instead of seizing the moment, which is what Jesus tells us to do, to grab hold of, to take advantage of, we seize in the moment. You see, while the verb seize means to take advantage of something quickly, it can also mean to lock up or freeze due to heat, friction, or pressure. And so when we're standing in front of opportunity, instead of seizing the moment, we seize in the moment. A couple of years ago, I was driving around in my vehicle, and every time I would turn the wheel a certain way, it would make this god-awful sound. Every time I would apply the brake, it would make a god-awful sound. But since I know nothing about cars, and I can be the king of procrastination, and because my car was still turning on and driving when I was getting into it and pushing the gas, I thought, I'll worry about it later. Until one day when I got in it and I started to drive it, that god-awful noise that I was only hearing whenever I would make a sharp turn or when I would push on the brake was now continuous. And I thought, okay, it's probably a good time to take it in. And when I took it in, I was told that what had happened was that the calipers that are around the brake pads that are meant to expand and contract whenever pressure is applied to the brake pedal, that those calipers had seized up. But they had locked up or frozen due to heat, friction, or pressure. They had seized up in the contracted posture. And so now the brake pads were continuously squeezing against the drum. And it was just by the grace of God that I didn't do more damage to my car. And they were able to replace the calipers and we were back in business. But as I've thought about that time and time again, I realize that you and I, we do that very same thing. We seize up. We're supposed to be functioning in this manner, and we're supposed to be doing this, and we're supposed to be engaging in that manner, but for whatever reason, we freeze up. We lock up, and we're immobile because of the things going on around us. And just like what the Apostle Paul said, there are open doors and there are adversaries. And there are just simply some things in my life and yours that are going to get us to lock down and to freeze up. And what causes you to lock down and freeze up at the person beside you and the person behind them and the person there in your room if you're online, and what affects me, it's going to all be different. For some of us, it's just laziness. We seize up because we're very self-focused and all about our own comfort. For others of us, it's fear. For others of us, and this is a big one, it can be a big one. Listen, hurt, unresolved hurt can cause us to seize up. Pride is another. Pride can cause us to not do as we're supposed to do, to not take advantage of opportunities that are in front of us. Doubt is another. Doubt can knock you out. Doubt can cause you to become immobile and refusing to budge as God is calling you to engage in your purpose as His son or daughter, as a part of His church. But because you and I love Jesus, and because you and I like to move it, and it's time for us to move, we need to start getting back in gear. I've come today to help you, Church Covington, to, when you're in front of these doorways of hope, these doorways of opportunity, instead of seizing in the moment, I want to help you get in gear and to start to move so that you can seize the day. So how do we do this? How do we take advantage of what is in front of us? The first thing that we need to ask ourselves is very simply, on what do I focus? On what do I focus? Because if our focus is on the wrong thing, it's gonna get us to seize up every single time. I am sure it was the same in Paul's day as it is now. Most people, remember Paul said, I'm not going anywhere. God's opened up an amazing door of opportunity here. And he says, there are many adversaries. And so most people today, just as it was then, most people, I think, have a tendency to be drawn to the realities of a present adversary rather than the realities of an open door. Because listen, some of us believe that in order for something to be God's will, in order for us to act, in order for us to engage, in order for us to have some kind of divine stamp of approval, there should only be an open door of opportunity and no adversity, no adversary, nothing holding us back. But listen, that is just simply not the case. That's not reality. Open doors and adversaries have always coexisted since the beginning of time. And unfortunately, many of us, we tend to be drawn to that little side note, that little disclaimer that there are some adversaries rather than, wow, there is a great door of opportunity before us. But notice how the Apostle Paul handles the situation, and that's why after Jesus, I want to model my faith and my heart and my boldness and my courage after the Apostle Paul, because notice how he handles it. He places all of his focus, all of his attention, all of his accolades, even just his adjectives on the open door, and the adversaries are just a parenthetical afterthought. He uses all these words to describe the moment, the movement, what Jesus is doing, the door. And then he's like, yeah, and there are some adversaries. The enemy was just a footnote to the greater story of all of the opportunity that exists. And I've come today to Covington to share with you that, yes, there are some adversaries right now in our reality. But I want you to focus on how God is moving and the opportunities that are before you, and to just remind you that what God has set before us, the door is huge and the opportunity is great and the adversary is understated. And don't ever get that switched around. If you ever switch it around so that the adversary is great and the open door is minimal, you're done for. You're dead in the water. But if you can keep your eye on the fact that even though we've got an enemy, and even though there are some things that are not to our liking, God is moving anyhow. He's still got a plan. He's still got a purpose. And we're going to pursue that with everything we've got. On what do you focus? And the second thing that I want to help you with as we talk about beginning to move, getting back in gear, and this is my last thing. Do you have sufficient oil? Do you have sufficient oil? I am not a car expert, I am not a mechanic, but I am now living in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, the home of the majority of the NASCAR teams. And I'm listening, and I've learned that at this point, a lot of times engines seize up. They lock up or they freeze due to heat, pressure or friction because they don't have sufficient oil. do you, as you're thinking about your life right now, your relationship with Jesus, kind of where you are spiritually, would you say that you have sufficient oil? My wife and I, we've got two little boys, Dylan, who's 12, going to be 13. He's next in line to be the 13th apostle. And then we have Micah, who's 8. And we believe that he's here to usher in the Antichrist. But we've got two little boys, and they're in that age and season of life that we're introducing them to the great movies, the classics. So I have shown them Indiana Jones, all the Indiana Jones movies. We have watched the Karate Kid movies, Top Gun, Goonies. And you know what I'm talking about. You cannot be a success in life unless you see some of these movies. But one of the ones that I've recently shown to them is the movie The Wizard of Oz. How many of you remember The Wizard of Oz? My 8-year-old surprisingly was just kind of spellbound by The Wizard of Oz. And there's so much about that movie that is so captivating. But the thing that recently, as I was watching it with my son Micah, that really stood out to me was the character of the Tin Man. The Tin Man is one of the most fascinating figures, because when we encounter him, you know, he's out working, he's out doing what he was created to do, he's out operating in his purpose, but he seized up. And he was rendered useless because of a lack of exposure, application, and saturation of oil. When we meet the Tin Man, he's out frozen, seized in the moment. And all he can do is just barely move his mouth because he doesn't have enough oil. And he goes an entire movie trying to get to the Great Oz so he could get a heart. But what he really needed was some oil. And as we think about how oil is a type or a shadow of the Holy Spirit all throughout the scripture, when we read of oil, what it's really talking about is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. I just want to say to someone here today, never underestimate your vital need of continual application, saturation, and exposure to the Holy Spirit. I've come today just to tell you that you've got to get your oil flowing. You've got to get the oil flowing again in your life. And one of the reasons that you've seized up in the moment rather than seize the moment is because you're trying to do things in your own power. You're trying to fulfill your purpose in your own strength. And what the Holy Spirit is wanting you to do is to stir up that gift, to stir up His presence and power on the inside of you, and to start applying some oil. And you're seizing up. You're not moving. You're not acting. You're not taking advantage of opportunities. You're becoming discouraged. You're becoming fatalistic in your outlook. You're becoming filled with anxiety simply because you're not fresh. You were never intended to try to engage this life and to do all that God's called you to do on your own. You've got to have the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever think for one moment that your problem is that you lack the heart to do it. And can I just say something here today? Some of you are standing in the doorway and you're not moving. You're not acting on what God is wanting you to do. And it's because you think that you don't have the courage. You think that you don't have the boldness. You think that you don't have the heart. But like the Tin Man in Oz, it's not about a lack of heart. The problem is a lack of oil. And when you get the oil, when you get the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, when the Holy Spirit moves inside of you, you'll find the heart. You'll be able to move again. You'll be able to engage again. Do Do you have sufficient oil? God is moving. And he's calling you, he's calling me, he's calling us to move. So let's stop focusing on the adversary. And let's stop neglecting our need wherever we are, here in the building, online, our need to be anointed fresh again and new with the Holy Spirit. I cannot do anything that I do without the Holy Spirit. There was a time in my life for a number of reasons that I will confess that I tried to do some stuff, some big stuff, without the Holy Spirit. I thought if I could be clever enough, funny enough, attractional enough, strategic enough, that I wouldn't need the Holy Spirit anymore. And I kept seizing up in moments that God was calling me forward and he was trying to get me to do great things in his name. And I finally had to come back to what I realized when I was 8 years old on March the 22nd, 1987, for the very first time ever, when I was exposed to and baptized in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, was that he gave that to me as an advantage, that I can't do it without it. And there's so much more that he has. Like the video that we watched, there is more, not just for those children in Honduras and 13 other countries where one child is. There is more for this church. There is more for you. There is more for me. And we cannot, my friends, the hour grows late. In fact, it was said in 1 Corinthians 7:29, the Apostle Paul says, "But this I say, my brothers, the time is short." The time is short. We are in a pivotal moment. We stand at such a strategic crossroads. We cannot afford to seize in this moment. So let's just open up and surrender to the Holy Spirit. Maybe for you it's for the first time, and for others of us it's for the first time in a long time. But I want to invite you to stand with me here today. And as you stand with me, I just want, right where you are, to just close your eyes, and I want you to just lift your hands. And I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to pray that right in this moment, Pastor Darrell's going to return. The band, singers, they're going to join me now. We're going to go into a time of worship. But as we sing and as our eyes are closed, as our hands are lifted, as our hearts are open, we're just going to ask God to send the oil of the Holy Spirit. Nothing spooky, nothing bizarre, nothing weird. I'm just the tin man that needs some fresh oil. You've got so much potential. You've got so much purpose, so much destiny on the inside of you. Don't let it go on the wayside just because you are unwilling to let the Holy Spirit come. Hands raised. Hearts open. Voices lifted. Come on, church, let's pray together as they begin to sing all over this place. I want you to ask God right now to touch you with his presence and power. I want you right now to ask him to help you to begin to see the open doors, to see the opportunities. Come on, church, lift your voice with me right now. Lord Jesus, send us your Spirit. Jesus, send us your power. We need it. If your Spirit will be there, if your Spirit will lead and guide, if your Spirit will overshadow, I'll go and do whatever you ask me to do. I won't hold back and I won't hesitate. But if you're not going to be there, and if you're not going to anoint it, I'm not going to go. I've got to have your spirit. Come on, church. Come on, lift your voice. Let's sing this together. The Holy Spirit is here right now. Just ask Him to fill you right where you are. Just ask Him to fill you up, to touch you. Maybe He needs to begin to speak to areas that have not been spoken to in a long time, that He needs to move in some areas of your heart and mind that He's not been in a long time. Come on, open up the floodgates.